The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me today here on Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me, my friend Andy Searles from Church Together in Castleberry. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, Mike. It's great to be with you again. Happy Tuesday to you. At the time of recording, I have just got in from my morning exercise, and it's a beautiful day today.
You know, I've got to talk about that for a minute because we're Facebook friends, and I get to see some of the pictures you take. And you're an early riser, number one. I know that for a fact. Number two, you take, what is it, a daily walk? And it's a long walk. Or run.
It's not as long as it used to be. During COVID, I had a little bit more time to stretch myself. But I normally do a 30 to 45 minute walk or run. I try to run, but often it turns into a walk. But one of the things I love to do, and this is what I share on social media, is I love to take pictures of nature and specifically sunrises. And it's one of my goals each year to take 100 pictures on different days of the sunrise, because it just reminds me of the newness of life and the new opportunities and the hope that is ours. And so as much as I can kind of enjoy that and capture that, it really sets up my day well.
Well, that is such a great idea. And you're right, Andy. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more reminiscent of the Word of God about His glory and the newness and His mercies, which we know are new every morning. And it does say morning. So that morning sunrise really is a great metaphor for those scriptures.
Yes. However, today was a little bit cloudy in Central Florida.
Yes, I would believe it would have been for a fact. And we've had some foggy days recently as well. But boy, it's getting warmer again. And I'm sure some of your walks, you had to be pretty bundled up out there.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think maybe 2 days ago, I had two weeks ago, I remember running long sweatpants, gloves, a beanie, you know, it was in the kind of high 30s. And then last week, just a week ago and a week later, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt because we're in the low 80s.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Florida can be pretty unpredictable this time of year.
Well, I tell you what, I'll take our unpredictable weather here over what my son is experiencing out in Fort Worth right now. It was zero there last night, and they've had like blizzard wind and snow conditions and really ice on the highways. We all have heard about that terrible accident they had last week. And by God's grace, my son was on that route and was south of it, and you know, you think about just the horrors of being in a 130 car pileup, but they're really having terrible weather out there. And yet, this is what's crazy. They're frozen in. They're right now, their temperature, when we went to bed last night, it was 5 degrees in the North Fort Worth area. And on Sunday, it's going to be over 60 degrees, and by next Tuesday, they're going to be up to 70. And yet, now there is a temperature spread for you, so I'm not thinking Florida is the only unpredictable area. That's pretty
no,
cool.
we have a schizophrenic temperatures this time of year, don't
we? My goodness, it's crazy. Well, Andy, for those that might not have heard your background, give us the short version. Everyone listening can tell that you don't have the same accent as a lot of my guests. You have that delightful UK accent. So tell us just a little bit of the story of your background, how you got to the U.S.
Yeah, there's a little bit of my accent left. I think my family says my accent has been corrupted as some American has kind of fallen into it. I think it was Mark Twain who said that our two countries, the U.S. and the U.K., two countries divided by a common language.
Yeah, I love that.
But I grew up in England. That was home for the first half of my life, and my family, my parents and siblings and their spouses and kids, nieces and nephews are all over in England still. I came to the U.S. when I was about 21, 22. I was involved in some missionary work at the time and lived a couple of years in California before moving to Florida and pastoring and meeting my bride. And we'll have been married 21 years in a couple of months. And Florida has become our home. I pastor a church in Castleberry called Church Together, which is around 7 years old. I'm very involved with an organization called the Better Man Movement.
And we're going to be talking about that.
Yes, we got some great stories of things happening there. I'm the chaplain for Orlando City soccer team. I'm very involved with local pastors and very involved in our community as well. And one of the expressions in our community is that I host a weekly podcast called What's Up Castleberry. I was just listening to that on my run this morning, where we interview folks from our community to try and help our community members to get to know each other and get to know some of our leaders in the city and county, so that we can have better conversation and dialogue and things like that. So got a number of projects going on, but I'm a guy who loves Jesus, who loves his family. Two kids who are both in the public schools, and I'm grateful for all the blessings that God gives to us.
I tell you, that is a great summary wrap-up of your life right there, and I just love that fact that you are so involved, and it is your heart. I know I was introduced to you from my son-in-law, who is Chris Jesse from Metro Life Church, and he's the one who said, you got to know this guy, Andy Searles. You just got to know him. He's really, really fun, really involved, a great encourager. And I had no idea then just how expansive your involvement, both in Castleberry, but then beyond that, in the greater Orlando area via the Better Man event, and also the fact that you are the chaplain for the soccer team. That's pretty cool. I know you're a big soccer fan in general.
I am. That was perhaps one of the things I missed most when I left the UK and came to the US, that it was hard to keep up with my soccer. So to be able to get more involved in that and to serve in what I think is a substantive way has really been a great blessing in my life. I call it a sanctifying hobby. It's puts me in the middle of something that I love, the sport, but it allows me to be there in a way that fulfills a missional purpose as I seek to represent our faith in that arena. But I'm a big fan of Chris as well. In fact, I saw yesterday, was it his and Stephanie's anniversary, Mike?
Not their anniversary. They got married in September.
Maybe it was just one of the Valentine's Day photos, but I saw this picture of young Chris probably about 20 years ago. He had one of those slim ties on. He was wearing a cardigan, and I thought, man, what did Stephanie see in him?
Well, I don't think my family would ever let me tell too many stories, but boy, I do. You just talk about stories. I have some stories to tell, and let me tell you something. I don't tell them because Chris also has some stories to tell, and so
there is like a sacred story trust within families, right?
Oh my goodness, I love that guy. And it's really cool. I mean, to see what God is doing in him and through him, it's really amazing. So grateful. He's been on my show as well, and I hope to have him back real soon because of just the unique things that are going on in their lives. And we'll tell that story when that happens. But here we are today. One of the things that I wanted to do in this segment, you and your wife, now, at least I know your wife. Did you ever come down with COVID yourself?
I don't think I have. My wife had it, and she was down for a couple of weeks. Over the course of the last year, I've been tested 6 or 7 times and have never had a positive test. So I've kind of managed to dodge that bullet on several occasions. But yeah, she had it. And I was sorry to hear that you did as well.
Oh, it was a terrible go, but I'm glad I made it through. Well, good for you, because to be in the same household as you were, and I know you were caring for your wife and certainly being careful and all that stuff, but to be in the same household and to not get it is kind of amazing. My wife did get it from me, and I'm grateful that her particular case was a lot lighter than what mine was, and I'm also thankful for that. But how has this been for your entire congregation? What's the update on that?
Well, we continue to meet in person and online. In-person worship is significantly less in terms of numbers than it was before all this started. But, you know, those of us who come, we worship safely and we worship passionately, and we make it work. You know, we've had, you know, obviously one or two folks in the congregation have it, but when they've had it or had symptoms, they've been wise enough not to come to church. But it's been strange. I really am looking forward to the day when we can invite people back fully and people feel comfortable coming. I'm looking forward to when we don't have to have the socially distanced seating, and maybe when we can drop the masks as well. It's really hard to worship and sing from behind a mask.
Well, you know, this is something that so many churches are, I hate to use the word divided because that sounds like such a brutal word, but yet there is a kind of a separation of thought about what is safe, what is right, what is doable. And a lot of churches are doing the complete mask thing. No church that I know of none of them are doing exactly what California is having to do and not even sing. There's a lot of that. Now, of course, there's been a lot of movement that's happened in the last week with the Supreme Court ruling that has freed up. And, you know, some big things are happening in California right now. Had Matt Staver on my show last week, and he was giving us the update about all of that. But, you know, there are still, I guess you could say, wide and different practices being going on in our churches right now. And I know in our church, we wear the masks when we're in the lobby or walking in the building. But once people are seated, since we are socially distanced and seating, they've just relaxed that mask rule, and you can take it off now. And it is so much more fun to sing without the mask on, and that's so helpful. And in general, it seems that everywhere I'm hearing, even I got a report from UF up in Gainesville that things are going down in numbers of infected cases. The caseload is going down, and the number of all the other stats. It looks like this is a real move toward what would be, in this scenario, a truly positive situation. Not positive in the sense of positive for COVID, but a good situation. It seems like there is a downward trend.
I've seen the same thing. I've been looking at the numbers that are put out daily by the state of Florida. And I think yesterday, Monday, our numbers were as low as they've been since July. And so I was really, really encouraged by that. And I think they've, you know, kind of been an average of about 6,000 or 7,000 over the last couple of weeks, which is way down from the 14,000, 15,000, 16,000 that we were having, you know, a month or so ago. So those are very encouraging signs, and hopefully they will kind of bring some normality. I'm not sure, Mike, though. You see, my leadership team at church have heard me sing, so they could be suggesting we keep the masks on.
Oh my!
Just to mute my voice a little bit. I don't know.
I don't think they're gonna be able to mute, you know, that much, man. Don't worry about it. Just sing.
I think our new rule will be you can remove your mask unless you're the pastor of this church. That might be it.
Just go ahead and sing and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Although I must say,
it is both of those things.
Oh, that's great, Andy. Andy Searles is my guest today here on Afternoons with Mike. So glad to get caught up with him. And we're going to be back in just a moment. And Andy is going to tell us some of the great things that's going on inside this movement of which he is a part. It's called the Better Man Movement, the Better Man event that happens here in the Central Florida area. That's all ahead. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. On the line with me today is Andy Searles. Andy's the lead pastor at Church Together in Castleberry and involved in the Better Man event. This movement, it really has become just that. It has become a bit of a movement that is more than just a once-a-year event. The Better Man event began, about 14 years or 15 years ago? Something like that, right?
I believe that, yeah. Birthed out of a little men's group in a church. The first one had about 30 or 40 folks, and God grabbed a hold of it. And last year, we think we had about 15,000 people participating in our event around the world.
It's just unbelievable. And, you know, it would never have been that kind of number were it not for COVID. It is so funny. We were talking about COVID in segment one, in case you just tuned in. But one of the, I think, long-enduring impacts that COVID will have brought is this thing of live-streaming church services, which we know that does not replace, and I'll say this, it will never replace, meeting together face-to-face. I love the fact that you were saying you long for the church to be able to come back together. Your church name, by the way, just kind of implies that. it kind of says, yeah, we're supposed to be together. I think Scripture is very clear on that point. But a benefit, it's not certainly without its benefit, that COVID has brought is this streaming thing. And when it was clear that COVID was still too rampant for the big event to be held in the way that it had been planned for last year, you guys kind of, you pivoted. That's the word that I've been hearing a lot. You pivoted, and that pivot of plan really opened up for this worldwide impact. And why don't you share a little bit about all that went into that decision?
Yeah, it really is crazy. And as I tell the story, I just want to share a principle that I'm learning or relearning, because it's buried right in Scripture in Romans 8:28, where it says, "For we know that all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purposes." God has a redemptive plan that he is working out in the world. Mm-hmm. And when crisis comes, when COVID comes, when other troubles come, I think one of the questions I want to be asking more quickly is, what does redemption look like? How's God going to work this out for his good and our good, because he loves us? And we certainly saw that principle in play in Better Man. For 14, 15 years, we've always been an event-driven ministry. We put people in a room, sometimes some very big rooms, and we encourage them. We encourage them to get to know God. We encourage them to become better men and better husbands and better dads and better employees and better churchmen. And it was really a wonderful time. God was doing something. And I know God was doing something in the men who gathered, because God was doing something in me as well. I know that I need to become a better man. And as I look around the world, I see the need for better man as well. So we were doing this thing, and it was good. It was fun. It was impactful. And then COVID came, and we weren't allowed to meet as an event. And so the question was, Lord, what are you doing redemptively? We know you love us. We know you've got a plan for this. How are you going to use this? And so over the period of a few months, we prayed and we talked and we chatted, and we decided to make the event available to everybody through some technology platforms. And God really used that to take the message and the invitation to become a better man further than we could ever have imagined. We were in 30-plus states, 15-plus countries, and we believe that over 15,000 people became better men because of the content that they engaged with during our event. So we serve, Mike, you know this, the God of immeasurably more, who does more than we can hope for or imagine. Even when things look tough, he knows how to make a way where there is and where there seems to be no way.
You know, I felt that very thing, that immeasurably more, the nature, that aspect of God. It became so clear in a refreshed way in my heart, because I think that every man, and for this matter, every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every child, every young lady, we all need renewal. We all need to be, in that sense, better. God's called us. You know, one of my favorite life verses is the, it's not a verse, I should say, expression or sayings, is this one. You never go uphill when you're coasting. You always go downhill.
Yes.
You're
yeah.
always going down. When you coast, if you think you can coast in life, you're going downhill. That's the only time inertia will pull you down like that. But you know what? God's called us to go uphill. He's called us to get better in that sense. And that's not through our effort primarily, not with salvation. That's done for us by God's grace. And I'm so thankful. I could never be better enough. I could never be good enough. I could never be right enough to qualify myself as a believer. But nevertheless, God has called us to live lives where we do grow, where we are sanctified, where we do improve and become more Christ-like. And that is the heart that we heard. That is what was the message of the Better Men event in November. And, you know, we did have a measure of face-to-face meeting, and it was a fun one at that. A couple of thousand people down at First Baptist, and they heard messages from Daryl Strawberry and Mario Rivera and, oh my goodness, Lecrae was there, and he really lit it up with his testimony. I thought that was just an amazing night of people hearing how that their life can be, men hearing, how their life can be more pointed toward Christ.
I absolutely. It was amazing, and I think that's the message that our world needs to hear. One of the temptations through this COVID time when everything has shuffled is that we can become lazy and we can go into a coasting mode, you know, oh, I'll just wait till it's all over. But as you said so well, we only coast backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need that constant challenge to keep moving forward in our faith. But one of the things that has happened since that day, Mike, is that we've really started to shift who we are as a ministry. Before, we were known as the Better Man Event. We did events. That was our thing. That was how we challenged guys. But once we saw what God was doing last year, we're kind of changing our focus a little bit and trying to become the Better Man Movement, right? Because we want to move men forward. But now, with the challenges and the opportunities ahead, just to do one event a year isn't enough to kind of capture the growth that we want men to experience. So we've been working on several different little Better Man projects.
Mm-hmm.
You and I worked on the Better Man Moment together and invited some speakers to give some encouragement last year. But one of the things we just started last week was the Better Man Interviews, where we're hoping once a month to interview someone of notoriety to hear their faith story, to see how Christ is making a difference in their life, in the hope that their story can help make better men of those who are in our audience.
Mm. And you did one of those, and it's just a most amazing story. I read about it, and you were interviewing someone that, now I just have to confess, I love automobiles. I am I'm just one. I've gone to a couple of races before, never to a NASCAR race, but I've gone to a couple of other type of speed races in the past and enjoy those things. And this in Daytona Beach at this time of year, everyone who is into NASCAR knows that Daytona is the place to be. So you guys had this big event right on the heels of race week in Daytona with their big 500 race just around the corner. And you guys took a real victory lap on this one. That's for sure.
Well, we did. We, you know, want to be relevant to those we're speaking to. And in Central Florida, you know, NASCAR is a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm, so absolutely.
For this, you know, interview, why don't we see if we can find a NASCAR driver and we'll do that. And because of some friends of friends, we're able to find this driver. He had a little bit of notoriety. He was Rookie of the Year in 2007, but he's probably best known for a big wreck that he was a part of and a miraculous rescue in 2008 that happened on the track. And since then, he'd gone on to have about 347 races, I think were his numbers. And he'd had, you know, seven or eight top 10 finishes, but never really done anything spectacular. And honestly, I'm not a NASCAR guy. I've never really, you know, delved too deeply into that arena. And so I'm like, hey, you've run all these races, but you haven't won anything. You know, what's this guy got to offer? But as we sat and spoke to him and as I interviewed him, I heard such a profound faith coming from this man. Someone who was disciplined in his relationship with Christ. Someone who was keen in his career, not to give glory to himself, but to honor God. Someone who wanted to live out his faith in a very secular setting. And we just had a wonderful interview for about 30 or 40 minutes. And honestly, I don't know enough about NASCAR that I actually brought a friend from church who does to sit next to me in the interview, you know, and just make sure I didn't make a complete fool of myself.
That's wise, and Andy.
I was so grateful for that. But after the interview, you know, he looked at me and said, Andy, that man is the real deal. And we spoke about some of the things that he said. One of the things that really challenged me is I said, how do you prepare for a race? And he says, the first thing I do in the morning of a race, and I do this every day, I get up and I open my Bible and I study it and I let that word study me. Because if I'm not living my life for the purposes of God, then I'm just spinning my wheels.
Oh, now that's a great metaphor from a guy like that.
Absolutely, right? He says, I don't want to live my life in idle. I don't want to just spin my wheels. I need to go somewhere and move forward. And the best way to do that is in and through and with God's word. And I'm like, wow, that's such an encouragement to me. Anyway, so we had a great interview. And I was actually speaking at my church on Sunday about the importance of discipline and devotion. And I quoted, you know, this driver. And then that afternoon, I decided that because I'd interviewed this guy, I should probably watch the race. So I watched about an hour of it. And then we had a rain delay. And it didn't start till later at night. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm a early to bed guy because I like to get up early. So I went to bed. I got up yesterday morning. And my phone was full of texts because the winner of the Daytona 500 was the guy that we'd interviewed for Better Man. His name is Michael McDowell. No one had heard of him outside of the NASCAR community on Friday when we interviewed him. But by Sunday night, his name and his recognition increased significantly because for the first time in 347 odd races, he won one of the biggest races in the NASCAR year.
Yes, that's not that's like not just winning a tennis tournament, But it would be like winning the Wimbledon. I mean, that's it's huge. Yeah, and I just can't even imagine. And I did not even put the two together when I heard the name. I'm like you. Now, I've the Dale Earnhardts, the Watsons. I think I'm using the right name. I should know the sport better than I do. But when I heard, I happened to be listening even to the Shepherd and on the SRN News, they had the winner's name. And I thought, oh, great. They had a winner anyway, because I thought the race was suspended and maybe they'd have to delay it or something. But they were able to get in the laps and a winner was named. But I did not know. I did not make the connection that that's who Betterman had interviewed. In fact, that's who you had interviewed, because in that moment you were representing Betterman. But that had to be exciting.
It was. I mean, just yesterday, I was buzzing, and I'd received Michael's phone number because of the interview, and I texted him and I said, you know, forgive me, I just haven't connected with your sport until now. And by the way, congratulations. And by the way, thank you so much for giving God glory for your success. You know, he was giving God glory when he wasn't doing too well. He was trusting God in those moments. Yet one of the first things that he said when he got out of his car, I watched it on the video after winning the Daytona 500, was God is so good. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
and I'm like, there's a man who's practicing what he preaches. The same thing that he was saying in tough times, he's now saying in victorious times. And he is faithfully honoring God when life was tough, but now when the spotlight is shining on him and all his dreams have been fulfilled. I was so impressed by that.
Well, I tell you what, his life was changed without a doubt. And he will be walking from here in a different path with the victory being so monumental. And it is so exciting to do exactly what you said, that he's been faithful in the tough times, and now we'll have a larger platform from which to speak to bring God glory. And I'm so grateful for that. It's a wonderful story, and congratulations on truly picking someone that, if you're going to interview anybody, how great is it that he turns out being the winner?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I think maybe, you know, we used to say at Betterman, our stage unites people, which it certainly does. But maybe we need to say now, our stage creates winners.
There you go.
And, you know, and again, not necessarily in that professional realm. I think there was a lot of grace on that. But we know that we win in life when we do become better men, when we submit ourselves to Christ and become like him. But Mike, just to kind of pick up on your previous point, if I can, following Jesus is about following Jesus when life is hard and when life is easy. It's about following him when you're losing and when you're winning. To use the NASCAR metaphor a little bit, there are times in life when it doesn't feel like we're accelerating as we want. There are times in life when we feel like we're going to crash. There are times in life when we feel like we're stuck behind everybody else. But if we can trust God in those moments, we can hold on to the hope that there will be times in life when we will win, right? When we will enjoy that victory lap one day. So our challenge as Christians, and I would really encourage your listeners with this, whether you're in a season of victory or whether you're in a season of struggle, hold faith, hold tight to your faith in God. He will never leave you and never forsake you.
What a great word. And you know, there's something about even what we do know about NASCAR and the fact that these guys are sitting in those wheels, they are keeping their eyes on the road. They are following the path that is before them, and they have to be alert and they have to be vigilant. If they weren't, well, we know the crashes are going to be imminent if they don't. If they get distracted even for a microsecond. It can make a difference when you're traveling those kinds of speeds. But what a great metaphor you've just given us. And what I love about Michael's testimony is the fact that he gave that testimony to you without prior or foreknowledge of what was just around the corner for him in his life. And Andy, how true that is with everyone listening to us today. We can feel we know what the future holds. We can wake up this morning and say, you know, it's not going the way I want it to go. And yet we do not know, we do not have a clue what God's got for us 2 or 3 days from now. And how exciting it is to realize that when we keep our eyes on the road, the real question is, we're following the Lord. And what you said is so true. The real issue of winning is when we do what God wants us to do. Because if we fulfill His will, ultimately, eternally, that was the winning decision.
Yeah. The reality is, we can win with Christ even if we're last in the race.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I would encourage your listeners, if they want to hear that interview, it's on our Better Man social media pages. It can be found at Better Man Event. I think we're going to put it on our website real soon. And again, it's just fascinating to hear this guy speak about life as a normal person giving glory to God, with him not knowing, as you said, what's just around the corner or the...
The turn.
The turn. What's a couple of laps ahead for him?
Yes.
As he won Daytona. So, man, praise God. I'm so grateful for Michael McDowell. He's inspired a lot of people with his racing. But he can inspire and will inspire you as you hear his story of faith as well.
Well, I'm going to be digging that one up and listening to it myself. And congratulations on that again, and how exciting, not only for Michael, but also for Better Man to be a part of that, because in a real way, Better Man has become part of Michael's story. As he tells this, without a doubt, Andy, he's going to be relating, you know what happened a couple of days before I won? I did an interview with this organization that brings glory to God because they're reaching out to try to help men be better men for Jesus. Now, that's a part of his story. And that's an exciting thing.
Well, here's the deal, Mike. I mean, if you want to win at your career, you call me a couple of days beforehand and I'll interview you. And things are, no, just kidding.
Well, maybe inadvertently I did that with you today, and we'll find out what's going to be around the turn for me here.
There you go. So maybe in a couple of days you buy a lottery ticket or something.
Oh, my goodness. I'm talking to Andy Searles. He's the lead pastor at Church Together. We're going to be back with Andy coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. On the line with my friend Andy Searles, who is the lead pastor at Church Together. What a fantastic story Andy just related to us, as they've interviewed, without knowing it, the winner of the Daytona 500, Michael McDowell, who congratulations going out to Michael and his family and his team. To win at that level, to win in that sport, to win in those conditions, well, it's just hard to find a limit to the superlatives that come to mind when you think about what a day to race. It was a tough race day. That's not the kind of day you want to be going 240 miles an hour or whatever it is that they go.
Yeah, I don't think so. It was a little wet. you know, I get nervous if I'm driving over 70, so I can't imagine in the rain what those guys are going through.
Well, Andy, as a pastor, and again, I go back to the name of your church, which I just love it, Church Together. That name says so many things on so many different levels about our faith, about the way we're supposed to live, about the way we're supposed to walk as believers. There is a call for us, and I think of that scripture verse, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, in harmony, and love. And, you know, we're living in a day and an age where almost the antithesis of that is seen and felt, experienced, and when it comes to the media, either listened or watched, We are in a country that is deeply not together. It's been called one of the most divided conditions for American history. And as a pastor, I know you deal with this in your congregation. You see it. You see the impacts of the culture and the friends and the churchmates that you have. What advice are you giving out right now, Andy, about this culture and about our divided nature?
Yeah, I think the call is to come together, right? And like we say, that's very difficult now because we're in such different places as people, ideologically, theologically, experientially. But if we can come together, then there's something special that happens. You quoted Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers come together in unity. The second half of that psalm talks about the why it's important that we come together. The psalmist said, it's like dew falling on Aaron's beard. And that metaphor says that when we're together, like the oil falling on Aaron's beard, that metaphor of oil talks about God's anointing, mm-hmm. God's presence. And when we come together, we experience God's presence. The other part of that psalm talks about the dew at the base of Mount Hermon in the morning. And in a very dry society, that dew was necessary to water and fertilize the agriculture. And so I think the psalmist is saying as well, that when we come together, not just do we experience God's presence, but we also experience God's provision. And as I look at our divided world right now and say, what's the answer? The answer is that we need God's presence and God's provision. But in order to experience that, we have to come together around Him and in Him and for Him and through Him.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, there's this picture that I've been contemplating on, and it is from Nehemiah and Ezra in those writings in the Word, where the Word of the Law was read and the power of God's Word, when it is read and when it is perceived. And that's the point that I want to make in this moment. In this, you mentioned this dry, like at the base there, the dew that is so necessary in a culture that is so dry. There is one thing that is beautiful about a condition where there is such a need as there is today. When you know that the only answer is the gospel and that what that need is for those people that are dry and that are without that is to hear the gospel. That should cause us, if we can just get our eyes on it and see it, that should cause us to be encouraged, not discouraged.
And that, I think so. Yeah.
That's exactly what I believe as believers we can be. We can be very encouraged that we know that we have, it's not that we have it, is that God has opened our hearts up to the greatest story ever told. And that's not a metaphor. That is not just a trite saying, Andy. The gospel is the greatest story ever told. Mm. And they need to hear it.
Yeah, Charles Dickens in his book, The Tale of Two Cities, starts famously by saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look around, as we read the newspaper, we scroll through our social media feeds, it's not hard to see that it's the worst of times. But because it's the worst of times, it's also the best of times when we read the gospel, because the gospel is our hope. It's our answer. It's our future. It's our joy. It's restoration. And the irony is, as we both know, that the light shines brightest in the darkest of times. Mm-hmm. We are living in a dark, divided time, but this is the perfect time for the uniting, powerful, healing light of Christ to shine its brightest. And we all have a responsibility to do that, right? Jesus said, He is the light of the world. But then later on, He looked at His disciples and He said, because I am in you, you are the light of the world. And so it's really important and incumbent upon us right now that in this darkness, we shine as light, bringing people to him and bringing people together around things that are very important.
You know, there's a condition that every person goes through. I don't care who they are. And it's something that will happen. If it hasn't happened recently, well, it's probably going to happen because it's part of human nature. And that is we all lose that confidence from time to time. We can kind of have it diminish, and we can actually feel like it's gone when in fact it is not gone. But I know that condition. I have been there too many times, and I'm thinking right now, Andy, of the people that might be listening to us while they're driving down I-4 or I-75 if they're up in Gainesville and Ocala, and they might be just on their way to an appointment, and they, like many times I have felt, where there's discouragement, they might have just received a report on their business that is not good, and it's a swirl of emotion going on in the mind where we can temporarily get our eyes off the promises of God, temporarily feel like we are sinking and there's no hope. But the truth of the matter is, what we have to do is like what Peter had to do when he was walking on the water at the Lord's beckon and he started to sink. Suddenly the Lord has him reach up. And that's what we need to do in this moment.
Mike, that's what I was preaching on this Sunday. That very passage. And it's real important and interesting to see that before that story happened, Jesus pulled himself away to be alone with God, right? That comes just after the feeding of the 5,000, right? And it said he dismissed the crowd and he dismissed the disciples on the boat so he could be alone with his Father. And I think that was where he got his strength from. It said he went to pray alone for a long period of time. And I experienced the same thing, that when I can pray alone for an extended period of time, then that light shines brighter in me, and I can offer that light of Christ to people more often. This great miracle happened on the Sea of Galilee, right, where Peter, puts his focus on Jesus. It's when we put our focus on Jesus, when we go to the Father in prayer, that we can become that light of the world.
Man, what a great metaphor that is. And you know, there's something as you were talking about that I began to see and feel very clearly, is that when the Lord separated himself there on that boat out in the sea, he separated himself from the disciples to spend time with his Father. He intentionally left those guys alone for that moment. So there are times when not only does it feel like we're alone, we may not be right next to the same nearness of the presence of the Lord as those disciples in that moment were physically not near Jesus, who had removed himself. And he was out there on the water calling Peter to himself on top of the water. So at times, if we feel like we're alone and we're not next to the Lord, we're never that far away, number one. But number two, it could just be that God's letting us feel that purposefully, because what he is getting ready to do is going to not only be our answer, but it's going to bolster our faith for the future. We learn times, at least we're supposed to learn things, in these moments where we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. We, like David, can say, but even then, Lord, you are with me, and you've given me your rod and your staff to comfort me. Those are great things to remember, but I just get a feeling that there are people listening to us right now driving down the road, and they're discouraged, Andy, and they needed to hear this, because there have been plenty of times that I needed to hear that and really benefited from the Lord when I did, and it causes my faith to rise, man. So what are you coming over the next several days or weeks at church together? What's on the preaching agenda for you?
Well, I'm talking through a series right now called Walking With. You know, obviously walking with God through life, but intentionally, what are some of the blessings of community and friendship? And I'm wanting to lean into this because I think we're still all feeling a little uncertain and a little bit separated and isolated because of the pandemic and because of these disunifying things that are happening in our world. And so I'm trying to lift up the value of walking with God and walking with each other as a means to experience God. So I've been talking about the impact of that. Last week we were talking about how walking with one another strengthens our faith. This week I'm talking about how walking together clarifies things. And looking at some of the things that Jesus was able to clear up when the disciples went on the walk to Emmaus after the resurrection. You know, there's two men, one called Cleopas, we don't know the name of the other, but Jesus showed up, and as Jesus showed up in their relationship, they became a lot clearer on a lot of things. And so I'm going to challenge our folks this week to spend time together, to walk through life with one another, because when we walk through life together, then we invite Jesus to clarify and things in us, ultimately so that he can change us. Those two disciples received clarity from Jesus, and that clarity changed them.
Yes, and not only did they see more clearly, their hearts burned within them, and that's a good thing too. Andy Searles, give us your web address, if you will, and also that for the Better Man event.
Absolutely. Our church website is www.ourchurchtogether.com. And there's some of my teaching and preaching and calendars and blogs and podcasts and all kinds of things on there. And then, of course, the Better Man event is at www.bettermanevent.com. And you can find us on social media as well at bettermanevent.com. And there you'll be able to find that fascinating, insightful, and inspirational interview with Michael McDowell, the winner of this year's Daytona 500.
Amazing stuff there. Thank you so much, Andy, for being with me. And friends, thank you for joining us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.